Emotions. Yes, we know we have them. Sometimes they are good, like happiness and love, but often they are bad, like resentment and anger. Sometimes they get totally out of hand when we lose control, but can they kill us? Yes, they can. Discover how our emotions can be deadly and what we can do about it. You won't want to miss this episode. Journey to Health is a podcast dedicated to achieving real health in all areas of our lives, physical, emotional, mental, and spiritual. How do you overcome adversity that has turned your life upside down? How do you get healthy when you are overwhelmed, confused, and don't know where to start? What are you missing because you believe you are doing everything right, and yet you are still not healthy? If you are searching for answers to these questions, you have come to the right place. The Journey to Health podcast series will help you discover how to achieve real health, overcome adversity, and not just survive, but thrive. Travel with me on our journey to health. Are you ready? Buckle up and let's go. Hi, everyone. This is Jan Schleicher. Welcome to episode 8 of the Journey to Health podcast, Healing Deadly Emotions. As a health coach, and as I recovered from a very serious car accident, I have learned so much about health and healing. One of my biggest lessons learned is that we are all on a journey to health. My goal is to help you sort through all the confusing information that is out there and provide you with resources that will help you achieve real health as you travel on your journey. I am so excited to be sharing the information in this podcast. It could truly be life-changing. In the last episode, I talked about how healing needs to occur in all areas of our life in order to truly be healthy. I talked about the difference between health, which is taking responsibility to attain physical, emotional, mental, and spiritual well-being, and healing, which is the process of making or becoming whole, sound, or well. Healing is an integrative process that is necessary to go beyond the physical to include the emotional, mental, and spiritual aspects necessary to achieve a balanced state of our body, soul, and spirit. Health is the desired outcome. Healing is the process in which health is restored. With healing being the process to restore health, we have to examine all areas of our life to determine where we need healing. This podcast series will help you do just that. We are starting with emotional health because what we feel emotionally often manifests into how we feel physically. We need to deal with the emotions that may be damaging us and in some cases destroying us, and we need to understand the body-soul-spirit connection that can heal us. Let's start with the definition that I shared in the last podcast to make sure we are all on the same page about what emotional health is. Emotional health is our feelings and the effect they have on us. It is our ability to cope with life events and how we acknowledge our own emotions as well as those of others. It does not mean being happy all the time. Emotional health is about managing the ups and downs of day-to-day life calmly and evenly. Being emotionally healthy is being able to express positive emotions like peace, gratitude, hope, and love, while letting go of bitterness, sadness, anger, resentment, and unforgiveness. As Dr. Don Colbert says in his book, Deadly Emotions, many of us are on an emotional roller coaster and we are not enjoying the ride, especially during times of uncertainty. The Deadly Emotions book is an excellent resource on the connection between emotional and physical health. The goal is to understand how to overcome the deadly emotions that trigger the disease process and prevent disease from occurring. Numerous studies have shown the link between deadly emotions and disease. Here are just some examples. Anger, rage, hostility, and the associated emotions have been linked to heart disease and hypertension. Resentment, bitterness, unforgiveness, and self-hatred have been directly linked to autoimmune disorders, including rheumatoid arthritis, lupus, and multiple sclerosis. Depression can weaken your immune system. Lack of forgiveness or holding a grudge is one of the most damaging and carcinogenic emotions we can experience. Yes, it can lead to cancer. Resentment and anger affect the detoxification system, which is the liver and gallbladder, and living in the past affects the immune system, including the lungs and colon. Anxiety has been linked to irritable bowel syndrome, panic attacks, and heart palpitations. Hostility and repressed anger can be directly related to tension and migraine headaches, chronic back pain, and possibly other pain, including TMJ and fibromyalgia. Dr. John Sarno has treated thousands of patients with back pain, and he concluded that painful back spasms and chronic back pain often result from chronic tension, stress, frustrations, anxiety, and worry as well. Dr. Colbert shared the astounding fact that between 75 and 90% of all visits to primary care physicians result from stress-related disorders. Wow. Another excellent resource is the book Ancient Remedies by Dr. Josh Axe that just came out. He talks about the fact that in ancient medicine, addressing the emotional causes of disease is the first priority. In Western medicine, it is the last. He also talks about the effects of stress on the cardiovascular system, where it raises blood pressure and puts undue stress on your heart, and also the gastrointestinal system, where it weakens your gut wall, allowing toxins and food particles to enter the bloodstream. Fear is one of the most powerful emotions and can affect many areas of physical health, including our reproductive organs, kidney, and bladder. Other emotions that affect physical health are worry, guilt, and shame. There are so many books that have been written and research that has been done on the link between emotional health and physical health. The two books that I mentioned are excellent resources, but there are many more. Unfortunately, I don't have time during this podcast to get into more detail. But one thing for sure, the research is clear. There is a very strong connection between emotions and stress and our physical health. I want to share with you a real-life story from someone I love dearly. We will call her Amy. Here is Amy's story in her own words. It is so powerful. I grew up with an alcoholic mother who was also suffering from severe depression. She raised my older sister and me by herself while working full-time at a demanding job that required us to move around a lot for her different assignments, both nationwide and internationally. She went to rehab 3 times, during which time my sister and I stayed with our aunt and uncle. When my mother had completed her 3rd rehab visit, my sister and I decided to remain with our aunt and uncle instead of moving back in with our mother, mainly because we wanted to finish high school without having to switch schools yet again, which would have been my 7th school in 9 years. Wow. But also because we weren't confident that our mother would remain sober after we had watched her fall off the wagon many times before. But she went back to work and has been sober ever since. That was over 15 years ago. My sister and I pursued our careers in post-secondary education. And as the years went by, I got to know the newer, healthier version of my mother. I began to believe that we had left our past behind us, that we had moved on from those terrible years. At least I thought I did. A few months ago, I was sharing an apartment with three others while volunteering on a research project. Occasionally, we would all sit down at the end of the workday and enjoy a beer together. However, there was one volunteer in our group who had a drinking problem. Let's call him Jim. Once Jim started drinking, he couldn't stop. He'd sleep until the afternoon the next day and neglect his responsibilities. The first time it happened, I was just annoyed. But when I realized he had a serious issue, I had a hard time falling asleep at night. And when I finally did, I slept poorly. I began to feel anxious all the time, but especially when Jim went into town, because I knew he'd either return drunk or with booze in his bag, or not at all, and one of us would have to pick him up at the bar. I found myself physically shaking from anxiety at times, which is an experience I never had before. It wasn't that Jim became loud or aggressive. He was a sad, rather quiet drunk. But he also became unreasonable and indecent in public. One day he came back completely wasted and I lost my temper with him and started yelling and screaming at him and even punched him in the chest. Not hard, but still I became physical. I don't remember ever having lost my temper like that before. The anger simply burst out of me in an instant without warning. I immediately left the room feeling utterly ashamed and stunned by my own reaction. I later went back to him to apologize, although he was too drunk to really care. Jim was sent home by our project supervisor a couple days later. The whole situation with Jim made me realize that I have, after all, not moved on from my childhood experiences with my alcoholic mother. There are deep, unresolved issues that I need to address, most dominantly unresolved anger that I didn't realize I had. Up until a few months ago, I had thought I was healthy. I could be around alcohol, I could be around people drinking alcohol, I could even be around drunk people without any issues. However, it wasn't until I was forced to live with an alcoholic again, with no place to escape to, that appended this apparent sense of peace and tranquility inside me, as we were in the middle of the COVID pandemic and all hotels were closed and my home was far away. This recent experience has taught me that no matter how many years or even decades pass, you carry your negative and unresolved emotions around with you. They may be buried and they may be buried deeply, but they will surface eventually and can be extremely destructive. I was lucky that I didn't physically hurt Jim. I too could have been thrown out of the program for my highly unprofessional behavior. I could now choose to carry this around with me for another few decades, but I'm sure it would affect my physical health at some point if it hasn't already in some way. This experience was a wake-up call for me. I need to address it now, not later. So what do I do about my unresolved anger and possible other negative emotions that I have been carrying around with me for the past 15 plus years? I have absolutely no idea. But I know that a good place to start is professional counseling, so that is where I'm going. I am sure it will take many years to work through this, but the important thing is that I recognize that I have a problem and take that first step in the right direction. Wow, what an amazing story. Knowing Amy very well, I never would have believed that she would get physical with someone like that and experience anxiety to that extent. Never. But repressed anger is one of the most deadly emotions because not only does it affect your physical health, but like she said, it just burst out of her with no warning and could have caused great harm. Fortunately, she is learning to deal with her anger now while she is young and should be able to avoid it adversely affecting her physical health in the future. Thank you so much, Amy, for sharing your story with us. You might be saying as you're listening to this, I get it, Jan. My emotional health is affecting my physical health, but what do I do about it? I am so glad that you asked. The key to emotional healing is to deal with it head on. There is no one approach that works for everyone. As I always say, yes, I know you hear it a lot on this podcast. Everyone is unique and you have to find what works for you. Here are some recommendations to get you started. You may need to connect with a psychologist, therapist, pastor, priest, or other spiritual leader who can help you face your emotional wounds and toxic emotions and find healing like Amy is doing. Step number one, evaluate your emotional health. Think about yourself, your experiences, and your relationships. Here are some questions. Do you have an open mind and an open heart? Are you willing to open yourself up to relationships with other people, even if you might get hurt? Are you relaxed and not stressed or tense? Do you have good self-esteem? Are you okay with making mistakes as long as you learn from them and move on? Are you calm and patient with others? Are you comfortable in expressing your emotions in healthy, assertive ways and don't keep them bottled up? These are the outcomes of good emotional health. The more positive emotional health you have, the more self-esteem you have. This means you do not frequently react with knee-jerk responses, anxiety, or panic to the events that occur in your life. But on the other side, are you harboring bitterness, resentment, anger, or unforgiveness toward another person or persons? Are you stressed or tense? Are you judgmental and critical of others? Are you experiencing fear in any area of your life? This could be fear of failure, fear of rejection, fear of change, fear of being lonely, among others. Are you dealing with worry and/or anxiety? Do you feel guilt or shame about past events? Answering these questions can help you identify what you are experiencing. The next step is to discover the source of the trauma, toxic thought, or memory. Keep a journal and write about your thoughts and emotions. Spend time in prayer and meditation. This includes acknowledging what has happened. Researchers at UCLA discovered that naming the emotion like sadness, anger, resentment, or jealousy can calm the amygdala, which is the brain's fear center that is often activated when you are experiencing negative emotions. Step number three, focus on the opposite emotion of what you are feeling. Let's take fear as an example. To overcome fear, you must first identify and expose it. Fear can hide as overprotectiveness, anger, pettiness, jealousy, and boasting. Identify what you are afraid of, and then turn it around and focus on the opposite positive emotions, which are faith, hope, trust, peace, and confidence. Unforgiveness is another emotion that needs to be resolved, even if the offender isn't remorseful and doesn't seek to make amends. This is really important. The person may not ask for forgiveness, but you still need to resolve the unforgiveness. The opposite positive emotion is forgiveness. Forgiving doesn't mean that you condone what the other person did. This is another important point. It is acknowledging that you are letting go of any anger and resentment and that any future relationship with that person will be on your own terms. It is acceptance that leads to peace and the ability to move forward. You cannot let fear or unforgiveness or any deadly emotion fester. As we have seen, it will likely affect your physical health if you do and could possibly be deadly. Choose to use your experience to help others. Volunteer to help in organizations where you can make a difference. This can really help you. By using your trauma for good, you can heal yourself as you support, encourage, inspire, and help those who struggle with the same issue. Some other things that can help are laughter, which, as I mentioned in the last episode, is definitely one of the best medicines. I also recommend connecting with supportive friends and family, practicing gratitude, and including a gratitude journal. I've talked a lot about that in previous episodes. That can be so helpful. Positive affirmations may be helpful, as well as reading personal growth books or spiritual growth books. Dr. Axe talks about his spiritual triathlon that he does every day to center and ground himself and have hope. This is 10 minutes of gratitude, writing down or thinking about the things that he is grateful for. Then 10 minutes of Bible reading or whatever form of spiritual reading you prefer that makes you think about your purpose in life and realize there is something bigger than yourself. The third thing is 10 minutes of prayer. There are numerous benefits to prayer, including stress reduction and less worry, anxiety, and fear. Meditation works well too, as well as a walk in nature. I really like this trio and think it could be very helpful to experience healing in all areas of our life. I know this is very difficult, I understand, but I encourage you to take that first step. Learning to deal with your emotions doesn't mean that you will never feel fear, pain, or sadness again. It doesn't mean you will never be overwhelmed. It is actually the opposite. It is learning to cope with life's challenges and having the resilience to handle whatever comes your way. It is learning to create positive emotions to replace the toxic emotions and experience joy and hope no matter what we are facing. I like to think of it as achieving emotional fitness. We talk a lot about physical fitness, but emotional fitness is just as important in preventing illness and deadly disease. Turning these potential deadly emotions into powerful, positive emotions will enhance your well-being and give you happiness, peace, and hope as well. I developed the acronym REAL to encompass the difference between what is typically thought of as health and what health really is. These four steps were adapted for overcoming adversity and can be adapted for healing, deadly emotions, and other areas of our life as well. Step number one, responsibility. Choose to identify and eliminate toxic emotions that may be affecting your health. Choose to think and feel differently. Choose to forgive. Yes, choose. That is so important. We choose how we respond. As I mentioned in a previous podcast, life is 10% what happens to us and 90% how we respond. Step number two, encouragement. Surround yourself with your support team. This includes friends, family, and if necessary, a counselor or therapist and your pastor, priest, rabbi, or spiritual leader. Seek help from others. Step number three, attitude. Develop a positive mindset. Commit to your healing and don't let anything take you off the path. Believe that you can do it. Practice gratefulness and resilience. And step number four, choose to love. This includes loving and trusting God who wants you to be healed in all areas of your life. It also includes loving others and loving yourself. Loving yourself is really important in healing. If you are experiencing guilt or harboring deadly emotions, this will likely be very difficult. But I encourage you again to take that step. It may also mean loving someone who has hurt us deeply and forgiving them, letting go of that anger and resentment. For deadly emotions, I add another L, which is learn. Learn more about what you are experiencing, the effects on your physical health, and how to overcome it. At the end of each podcast, I provide a compass point. This is a time where I encourage you to take a compass reading on where you are at on your journey. This compass point will help you get started on identifying areas of your life that may need emotional healing. Evaluate your emotional healing by reflecting and reviewing the questions I shared in step number one. Identify what deadly emotion needs to be addressed first, and then identify the next step to achieve emotional healing in that area and do it, one step at a time. It may save your life. Hopefully you have found this information helpful to understand the effect of deadly emotions and how to turn them around so you can be healthy in all areas of your life. There is much more that I am so excited to be sharing with all of you in the upcoming episodes. The next episode is about stress. You won't want to miss it. It is so important to make progress every day. Some days there are tiny baby steps, and other days there are bigger strides. Some days you may take a step or two backwards, but the important thing is to keep moving on your journey. There is hope. Don't give up. Travel with me on our journey to real health together as we focus on all areas of health. I am still traveling on this journey and will continue to as long as I live, and I would love to travel with you. As I like to say, it's an adventure. I would love to help you as we travel on our health journeys together. Let me know what other things you would like to know about deadly emotions that I can incorporate into future podcasts or other topics you would like me to cover. And I would love to hear your story. Email me at jan@thejourneytohealth.net and check out my website, thejourneytohealth.net. If you like this podcast, please subscribe at Apple Podcasts, Google, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts and tell all your friends. If you really like this podcast, please rate it 5 stars. I know you hear that a lot, but it really does make a difference. It will help me reach more people to travel with me on this journey to achieve real health in all areas of our lives. And most importantly, celebrate life each and every day. Thank you.